I would like to read verse 35 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 35. God says, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." Now what a verse of Scripture. Certainly this is a verse of Scripture that speaks of the judgment of God, of the condemnation of God, of the visitation of God upon the souls of the wicked. "Their foot shall slide." God says, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense." Payday is coming. "Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." Now this is not, and this may seem rather strange to you, this is not a pleasant message for me to preach. And I dare say that it will not be a pleasant message for you to hear. It is pleasant, beloved, to preach on the love of God, on the grace of God, on the kindness, the mercy of our God. How wonderful it is to present the truth of the gospel of the saving grace of Christ. It's joyful to do so. It's a great message. It's a message which God is pleased to own and bless. But beloved, there are times when we must preach the judgment of God, when we must preach that there is recompense with God, when we must preach that God will punish sin, when we must preach that God will hold men and women accountable for their rebellious lives and for their wicked ways. God most surely will do that. Therefore, there is passed on to us, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, the duty of preaching on the judgment of our God. Now, there are three reasons why that I must preach this message to you today. I'm compelled to do it. Woe is unto me if I preach not this message, if I preach not the message of the gospel, the message of God's word. Now, first of all, I preach this message because of the example of our Lord. Now, most of you who've casually read the Word of God probably would agree with the statement that the Lord Jesus Christ said more about hell in His ministry than He did actually say about heaven. It is true. If you read carefully the four Gospels, you'll see that our Lord Jesus Christ, His example was to warn men. The Lord Jesus said that if your eye offends you, He said, pluck it out, because it would be better for you to go to heaven with one eye than for you to go to hell with two. The Lord Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off, because you would be better off to go into heaven halt and maimed than you would to go into hell with both hands and both feet. Now, beloved, Jesus was very serious about this subject of judgment. And He said there will come a day when men will be separated. Men will be on His left and on the right. And those on the left will be sent off into everlasting judgment, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. Now, beloved, then the second reason that I preach this message is because if I do not, your blood will be upon my hands. There's a verse of Scripture found over in Ezekiel chapter 33. If you want to turn there, you may. Ezekiel chapter 33, where the Word of God says this. In verse 4, He says, that then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked, if I say, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, he shall die in his sin, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now this message was given to the watchmen of Israel, and he was to speak unto them who were not of the household of faith. He was to speak unto those that were not the children of God, and he was to speak to them plainly, and to warn the wicked from his way, telling them that they were going to die, and they were going to die in their iniquity, but his blood would either be upon the watchman's soul, or it would not, according to his faithfulness in delivering the message of judgment. So first of all, the example of our Lord Jesus Christ compels us to preach this message on judgment. And secondly, because we do not want the blood of men's souls on our hands. The Apostle Paul said, I held back nothing that was profitable unto you. Held back nothing. Now we know in this day and time it's very unpopular, and we feel that even this morning in our heart to talk about hell and to talk about eternal judgment. We know that it's very unpopular, but we know that the message must go out, because God very shortly is going to bring this world unto judgment. He very shortly will bring you before his throne, and the books will be opened, and you will be judged out of those things that are written in the book. I do not want your soul on my hands, on my blood. I do not want to be guilty of your soul. Now then, the third reason is because of the possibility that someone might hear with their heart. Oh, there's always that possibility. Glory, glory to God. There's always that possibility that the Spirit of God will take the message of the Word of God and arrest somebody's heart, maybe even just a yard short of hell itself. But God will turn around a man or a woman or a boy or a girl and turn their heart in faith toward the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because of that possibility, my friend, we must preach this message on judgment. And oh, I do pray that your heart will be open this morning and attentive. I say your heart. Oh, there's so many that hear with their ears and hear with their head. And in just a few minutes after the meeting, they no longer know what the preacher was talking about. They no longer could tell you what was the burden of the Lord upon the preacher for that morning. But I say to you today, may God open your heart and to give you an ear to hear this morning. Now, first of all, there's about five things that I want to mention to you, and I will be very brief this morning, because I believe that God would have me to say these things, and I believe if I'm brief that you will listen and pay attention to what we have to say. First of all, let me say that God has the power to cast men into hell. God has the power to bring judgment upon men's souls. I would invite your attention to Luke chapter 12, if you have your Bible and you want to turn there and look, if you will, at verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ warns here in this verse. He said, but I will forewarn you. He tells them in verse 4, and I say to you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But he says, I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. I'm telling you who you better fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now, beloved, if you're here this morning living in rebellion against God, if your heart has never been reconciled to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're still walking, living, breathing God's air in this world, and your sins are yet upon you, your sins have not been put away, your sins have not been remitted, your sins have not been forgiven, my friend, I will forewarn you who you must fear. You must fear the God of all power, the God of all might, the God who after he kills you is able to take your never-dying soul and to cast it for all eternity into that place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, into hellfire itself. My friend, fear this God because he had power. Now, my friend, we know that God demonstrated his power in the days of the flood, in the days of Noah. God demonstrated his power when he brought upon the earth the great flood and took everybody away, killed every living thing that was not in the ark. I make haste to say that ark was the place of safety for Noah and his family and for all those animals that they had gathered together. And the place of safety for your soul is the bosom of the Redeemer himself. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the place of safety for your poor soul, and you must be in him. But God's power came, the mighty rains came down from heaven as God dumped them onto this earth, and the whole, everything living died in that flood except those in that ark. And then we know that the destruction of Pharaoh, God raised up Pharaoh, and the Bible says that for this purpose, this cause, have I raised thee up, that I might show my power, that I might show my power in judgment. And you know how he brought Pharaoh down. You know how he drowned his army in the Red Sea. You know how that God demonstrated that he has the power to cast men into hell and to bring judgment upon them for their sins. And then the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah, was that not a picture of the judgment of God opening heaven and pouring out of heaven his hell upon the earth and burning up the cities of the plain? Now, there was once an atheist who stood on the street corner in Chicago, Illinois, and he had a little soapbox, and he stood upon it, and he got up on that box and said, "If there be a God up there, let him kill me. Let him strike me dead." And then a little while, everybody laughed, you know, around him and tee-heed. But he got down off of the box and he walked away, and somebody said, "Why didn't God kill that man? Why didn't he kill him?" Well, beloved, let me tell you this. The Bible says in due time, the verse that we have here out of Deuteronomy, in due time, God said, "Their foot shall slide, for the day of their calamity is at hand." Now, beloved, I want to make sure that you understand this, that God pays his bills, and you can be sure of that. God pays his bills. There isn't any question about it. Just as sure as you have sinned, you will die. You will suffer the judgment of God forever and ever. The Bible is clear on Romans 6:23, says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In due time, your foot shall slide. God said, "Vengeance belongs to me. Recompense belongs to me. That which shall come upon them shall make haste." It is coming, and we need to be aware of it, that God is going to come. His mill grinds slow, but it grinds fine. And he's not going to clear the guilty. God is going to punish sin. Now then, the second thing I want to say, the first thing was that God has the power to cast men into hell. And I know the Arminians, they say, well, you know, I heard one man say one time that his preacher had been telling him that he needed to let God save him, because if he didn't let God save him, then God was going to cast him into hell. And that fellow said to him, he said, well, you know, if God can't save me whenever he wants to, then whenever he gets ready to cast me into hell, I won't let him. Now, beloved, we're here to represent a different God than that. The God we're here to represent is a God who saves whom he will, when he will, and saves them through the gospel of redeeming grace. He saves his people from their sin. And no man lets God save him. We know that men and women are saved when they're made willing in the day of God's power. Once again, God's will rule, and he'll have his people. He'll have his people. But I'm telling you, there is no rebel, no sinner that's going to stand in the face of God and say, you don't have the power to bind me hand and foot and cast me into the pit. No sinner will ever stand in the face of God and tell him that. And so I'm here to represent the God who has power and the God who will cast men into hell. Number two, I want to say this, and I know it's misunderstood, and I know that there are people, maybe even here, that will not agree with what I have to say about this. Number two is, men deserve to go to hell. They deserve to go to hell. Now you say, preacher, I'm a little bit surprised to hear you say that. That men deserve to go to hell? My friend, we were all in our daddy Adam when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. We were in his loins. And he represented us. He was the best of us that there was in the world at that time, and still is the best of us outside the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that man is a worm. The Son of Man, Job said, is a worm. We know that. And we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are lawbreakers. All have violated the principles laid down in the holy word of God and sinned against God. Men deserve to go to hell. Men deserve it. Well, picture yourself. You say, I'm not sure about that. But picture yourself before God at the judgment. And the books are open, my friend. The books are open. Oh, God keeps good books. God keeps accurate books. God keeps a good account. And everything is on the books. It's all on the books. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, they will be judged according to that which is written in the books. And God has your life all down on the books. And here you are standing before God. And God says to you, cast him hand and foot. He says to the angels, cast him, bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the lake of fire. And you will say, oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You will say, well, won't somebody stand and speak for me? Won't somebody speak for me? Yes, the books have been read. Yes, the account has been posted here before you, O Lord. But won't somebody speak for me? And the judge will look around and he will say to the law, law, will you speak for this man? Will you speak for this man? The holy law of God, the Ten Commandments. Won't you speak for this man? Do you have something that might change the outcome of this judgment? Will you speak for this man? And the law looks at this man and says, you never met my demands. I made demand after demand. I made 10 demands of you, and you never met my demands. You never was a friend of mine. You never obeyed me. You never submitted yourself to me. Oh, the word says that if a man continue not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them, you're going to be condemned, and you are condemned, and you're guilty. You're guilty. The law says, bind him hand and foot. Go on with it and send him to hell. He never satisfied me. All right, and then justice. The Lord turns the God of all the earth, this God who must do right, turns to justice, holy justice. And he says, justice, do you have a word for this man? A word that you might say
that would change the outcome. This man's going to be cast into the fire, the lake of fire, and burned for all eternity. Do you have a word, old Justice, that might change the outcome of this? And Justice says, it is written, the soul that sinneth, it must die. The soul that sinneth, it must die. And Justice says, he never satisfied me. He never did. He never paid the bill. I just looked under the account. He never paid the bill. He owed a debt. He owed a debt to my Justice. And my Justice will only be satisfied with his never-dying soul burning forever in the lake of fire. That's the only way that my Justice will ever, ever be satisfied. Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the lake of fire. And next, the holy judge turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, his own Son himself. And he says to Christ, oh, do you have something that you might say, that you might speak for this man? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, well, he said, he never came to me that he might have life. It was said in the Word of God that a man come to me and believe on me, that he would have eternal life. It is written, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But he never believed on me. He never trusted me. He never did believe that I was truly the Lamb of God that you sent into the world to die for men's sins. He never believed it. And it is written in the Word of God that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he never did call. He never did call on me. Well, he heard that scripture and he heard it many times, but he never called on me. He never did. Now then, he turns, the judge does finally, he turns to the Lord's people and said, will any of you speak for this man? And there will be some that will speak up and say, well, we did speak to this man, but this man would not hear what we had to say. We told this man over and over that he was dying in his sin and his iniquity. We told this man that he must repent and that he must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or he would perish forever. We told him that. But now we have nothing to say for this man except this, old sinner, true and righteous are the judgments of the holy God of heaven. True and righteous. Hallelujah! True and righteous are his judgment. Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 19. Sometime you can read that and see how the people of God react at the judgment of God upon that great whore and upon the religious people who died in their sins in that day. Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and true and righteous are his judgments. Now then, my friend, that is the second thing that I wanted to leave with you this morning. Oh, listen to me. Men and women deserve to go to hell. The books will prove it. The old account, which is not settled, will prove it when you stand at the judgment. Number three, lost people are already under the wrath of God as they live out their days in this world. This is hard for people to believe. You mean to tell me that I'm not on probation? I'm not on probation? No, my friend, you are not on probation. John 3:18 says, he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because they believe not on the name of the Son of God. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It abides on him. And so those of you this morning outside the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. You're not on probation, my friend. In the Garden of Eden, we were on probation in Adam. And Adam sinned. We're no longer on probation. We are on death row. And we need to remember that. right now as we stand, right now as we sit, wherever we be, right now, my friend, we are on death's row if we're not in Christ. Men and women who are on probation are not in, they're out of prison, and you're not on probation. And I want you to know that the wrath of God already abides on you, and you are this morning. If suddenly cut off, you will be taken by the black angels of eternal judgment in hell, and they fighting over your soul will drag you mercilessly into the lake of fire. You will go to hell, my friend, because you're not under probation. You're under the wrath of Almighty God. Number four, and I must hurry. Lost people would not enjoy being in heaven if they were to be let in by the Lord. They would not enjoy being in heaven if they were not in. Now here, beloved, you know it's true that many lost people, you have to rope them and tug tie them and drag them into the house of God for an hour and a half. They don't want to come. They want nothing to do with it. They just have to be drugged into the place. And while they're here, they're wanting to be somewhere else and can't wait till it's over with to get on somewhere where they want to go, where their own natures will feel comfortable and at ease. Now, my friend, you listen to me. How do you think that those people, what would make you think that those people could go into the house of God forever and be comfortable? My friend, they cannot. And the reason being, my friend, is because they have not them. They have not the divine nature in them. To be able to enjoy divine nature, you must have it. Your soul must be created anew in Christ Jesus. And you will not be at home in heaven. You will never go there. No, no, no. Let me illustrate that quickly. Now, for an example, maybe you would be invited to the White House. And maybe, you know, being there's a Republican in the White House now, and you're a staunch Democrat. And you would be very, very uncomfortable, my soul, to sit across from a Republican president. You would be a most detestable thing that you could possibly enjoy. Now, my friend, you cannot enjoy that. You cannot. And therefore, it's the same as in heaven. You love not the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no sympathy toward Christ. You have no desire to be with Him. You have no desire to be like Him, my friend. And how is it that you entertain the idea that at last, when you drop over dead, God's going to usher you into the kingdom? No way! No way, my friend. You say, well, I'm a friend of God, preacher. You are no friend of God if you're yet in your sin and in your rebellion. You're no friend of God. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day God is angry with the wicked. And we know that you're not, listen, the Bible says that your very whole nature is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. How could you say you're God's friend? You're not God's friend, and He's not going to have you in the kingdom. You will never be there until you receive the divine nature of God and your soul is regenerated and you come to life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how much we need to understand that. I have told you people through the years over and over and over again, and I must say it again. You must not expect anything in eternity, the seed of which is not in your life here. You cannot, you must not entertain the idea that you finally are going to heaven. No, 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 you're not going to heaven unless the seed of eternal life is in you. The Word of God, the quickening of the Spirit, the new birth, unless it's all real in your soul, you are not going into the kingdom of God. And the next thing that I say, number five, is this. Don't think because you're strong and well off here in this day that things won't change. Don't think that. I know people, you know, they act like, hey, I'm going to be here forever just like this. I'm going to be here. I'm strong. I'm able. I can make my own decisions. I'll do what I want to. I go here. I go there. I'm up and down. I do whatever I please. Nobody says anything about it. Nobody's going to interfere. Well, my friend, I want you to understand, in due time, your foot's going to slip. In due time, God says, recompense belongs to me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In due time, things that shall come upon you are making haste right now. They're on their way. Your days are appointed by God. Your time is coming. And regardless of how much you think you got a hold of the matter now, I'm telling you, it's going to change. And the way things are, my friend, it's compared to eternity. Think about the length of eternity. The length of eternity. Oh, my soul, I've read various pictures of eternity and how long it is and all of that. But let the word suffice for itself this morning, forever and ever eternity. And this life compared to eternity is like one snowflake in a blizzard. It's like one drop of water in the ocean. It's like one speck of dust, my friend, in a huge field or in the dust bowl of the 30s. My friend, this is going to be over in the snap of your eye. It's going to be, or the snap of your finger, in the blinking of your eye. It's going to be over. And you're going to be facing God at the judgment. And I want you to be aware of it. I'm telling you now. So that when you get to the judgment, that I won't have to give an account. Your blood being upon my hands. It's going to change. The only thing that is certain about life is the uncertainty of it. And you surely know that. You surely understand that. And I'm attempting by the grace of God to get you to seek the Lord, to cry out to God, to go against your old rebellious nature. May the Spirit of God plant enough of His power in your soul to turn you away and to turn you unto Himself. And that brings me to the last thing. And that is, there is, thank God, there is a way out. There is a way out. Oh, wouldn't it be an awful thing if I was assigned the duty of coming here this morning and preaching these things to you that I preached, and there was no way out. There was no way out. Oh, people of God, you could weep, could you not? You could weep. There's no way out. There's no way out. Some are saying that. There's no way out. There's no way out. I must face the books. The books will be opened, and I will stand the great white throne judgment. Oh, no. There is a way out. There is a way out. Job said, deliver his soul from going down into the pit. He said, I've found a ransom. Now, you know what it is for somebody to be kidnapped, and their kidnappers sending a ransom note saying, you pay such and such amount of money, or I'm going to kill this man or this woman, this boy or this girl. You know what that means? The ransom. If it's paid, they live. Well, God says, I've found a ransom. And that ransom is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the death of Christ. It's Him suffering for sin that He might bring us to God. It's Him dying on that tree. It's Him in agony and blood, dying and suffering in order that we might be spared and delivered from His wrath. And my friend, there is this way out. I always like that verse, Romans 6:23. I use it a lot. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gift of God. The gift of God. Not something you can work for. Not something you can buy. It's unpurchased and unpurchasable. You cannot get it any other way except God give it to you as a gift based on the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the way you get it. That's the way you get it. You get it from the hands of the living Christ. He gives the gift of eternal life. Did He not say in John 10, I give unto my sheep eternal life? He did. He said that. I give it to them. Oh, if we could ever believe that the gift of God is eternal life. If we could just believe it. and call upon the Lord by His grace and by His power working in and through our hearts, giving us submission and giving us the desire and giving us all that we must have in order to claim the full blessing of life and life eternal. May the Lord be pleased to bless this morning this message and to use it for His glory and for His honor. I believe eternity will reveal that God sent me here this morning to deliver this message to somebody's poor soul in this place. Do not take it for granted that we'll be here next Sunday. Do not take it for granted that this message, that you will ever hear it again. Do not take it for granted. May God be pleased to burn these truths into your soul, that you may seek Him with all your heart. May there be somebody. You know, I talked about the possibility. The possibility. And isn't it wonderful? There is that possibility that somebody here may be set to looking, set to reading, set to seeking after the Lord, set to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, saying that if a man can have eternal life by believing, then I'm going to believe the best I can. I'll believe the best I can. Now, we all know here that if a man's saved, he's saved by the gift of God's faith in his soul, and nobody's saved apart from that. But I'm telling you, friend, God is pleased to give His faith to the hearts of those that He chose and gave to the Son in the eternal covenant of grace. And there is a day when a man can stand up and say, I believe. When a child can say, I believe. When somebody can say, I truly do believe that Jesus Christ died for me. That's the gift of God's faith in the soul. May the Lord work in your heart and life this morning to the accomplishing of His good, sovereign purpose. Brother, would you lead us?